Welcome to KMXT's Talk of the Rock, our local community affairs program, where we explore issues and organizations related to our community. Talk of the Rock is hosted by members of the KMXT news team.
Thanks for tuning in to Talk of the Rock here on KMXT. I'm your host, Davis Ovey, and today's episode is a pre-recorded conversation with two coaches from Kodiak's Native Youth Olympics team. I'll let them introduce themselves and we'll get right into it.
So my name is Taylor Holin. This is my ninth year teaching in Kodiak, but I was born and raised in Alaska. I grew up doing NYO, although not competing in NYO because there's so many sports, but I always loved NYO and I really was eager to do my events like scissor broad jump. And so I've grown up doing it and loving it.
Yeah.
Here we are.
Great. And I appreciate you adding that in too. Jake, could you tell me, do your introduction and add in what your favorite NYO event is maybe?
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Jake Richards. I'm originally from Raleigh, North Carolina. Lived in the East Coast all of my young adult life and then moved to Alaska about 4 years ago. And two of those years have been in Kodiak. I got introduced to NYO through my work. I work with mental health for Native youth, and Native Youth Olympics goes right hand in hand with that, and was doing it for my work and fell in love with it and decided to take up coaching. My favorite NYO event to watch is probably the Alaska High Kick. To do is stick pull.
All right. Very good. Well, thank you so much for joining me. Appreciate both of your time. We're talking about Native Youth Olympics, and I guess let's just start with how long has Kodiak had an NYO team specifically, I guess? Does anybody know the answer to that question? Or if you had to guesstimate, at least.
It's complicated, yeah. Is the answer.
Okay.
it's existed on the island in general for decades, my conversation with Melissa Magnuson is correct. But there was about a 4 to 5 year period where NYO didn't exist. And there was a big drought and it really died down here. And it wasn't until, 4 to 5 years ago that it got picked back up, if memory serves.
I think 2 years ago is what it sounds like. This is the third year back.
Okay.
I know in the early 2000s, one of the parents at Maine Elementary, Tommy Johnson, had been coaching. It seemed like there was a huge following, like a really solid group. And I think kind of died off recently.
It's from what it sounds like, there hasn't been the adults to really take it on.
Yeah, it's hard to speculate.
Yeah,
what's happening.
But
and just to clarify, Native Youth Olympics is for elementary through high school, or
ooh,
where do you start?
So typically, if there is a team, there is just the senior games level team, which is 7th through 12th grade. But there is Junior Native Youth Olympics, which can go from 1st grade up to 8th grade. And there's more of a competitive feel and different games that are slotted for two grades in a band. And they compete typically for the state in February. But I don't think there was even a team back in the heyday. Mm-hmm. For Junior Native Youth Olympics.
Yeah.
Although I am coaching a little team, but travel is not really on my mind. It's just to get it out there.
So you were working with 1st through 8th graders this year, a junior team?
No.
Okay.
Only 6th graders through 12th
okay.
graders.
Six.
And then
okay.
at Maine Elementary, 4th and 5th graders, there's a little club.
Okay, nice.
A lot of heart.
Yes. Yeah, so tell me, what do your practices look like? How do you sort of structure the events from week to week?
Yeah. So I would guess if I was to say what a normal practice is like, we come in, we do warm ups, do our dynamic stretches, do some cardio. We often like to do what we call a 1 minute challenge, which is we pick push up, crunches, any of those kind of activities. How many can you do in a minute? And we see throughout the season how people improve, because a lot of those skills are directly transferable to different games. From there, we like to do focus events. So everyone on the team kind of has their event, the one they really like doing. some of them have multiple, three or four. Some of them do all the games. But we spend about like 30 minutes having people try like a real focus event. And from there, it's kind of, you know, what the students want to do. Do they want to help each other out? Do they want to learn something new? We kind of give them the reins.
And then just to follow up on that, so obviously there's a variety of events for Native Youth Olympics, a lot of different competitions that they can enter into, but it seems like there's a lot of technique involved for each one.
Oh, yeah.
Could you talk to that, Taylor, please?
Yes. Okay, so there are 11 events in the senior games for Native Youth Olympics. A lot of it is... there's some fast jumps, which that goes into scissor broad jump and the 1 foot, 2 foot high kick. Mm-hmm. You kind of, not necessarily fast, but those ones are high, but there is agility and explosion in those ones. And then like Drake likes, there are two stick pulls, mm-hmm. which Inuit stick pull you might think is a strength challenge, but it's not always the bigger person wins. It's kind of like a tug of war. But then there's also Dene stick pull, which is traditionally like an oiled stick, so muscle is not necessarily going to help you, so there is strategy involved in that one. And then there's a lot of balance and just kind of overall stability in your body, because if you are going to these extreme heights for jumping, or if you are trying to do a toe kick, there has to be like an overall healthy balance of body in order not to injure yourself or to succeed and push yourself.
So how do you go about like teaching a young athlete who has never done this sort of event before? How do you go about teaching them, like, for example, yeah, the 1 or 2 foot high kick?
Oh, we start off with, I'm so big into hamstrings. Yeah. And so it starts from there. So I'm always, you know, like hamstring warmups and the stretching. And then so if we are starting the kick, we typically will start with 2 foot, because that means you're getting off of 2 feet, you're kicking with 2 feet, then landing on 2 feet. So that's good, because 1 foot, things change. And so it's usually starting the ball kind of at knee height, wherever their knees are. We start there and just getting up and trying to kick the ball, get that success early on. And then as they progress, as we raise it 2 inches or 4 inches, we start to really focus on bringing knees in, or just really showing success. Like, everybody is going to be successful as long as they're trying. And that's a big thing, is that you're out here trying, you're here showing your best to your team and to yourself. And so it's about that encouragement, but also pushing yourself into, yeah, you did that. I wonder what would happen if you did this.
And what's the final height that they're trying to reach for the actual games when they get into competition?
Oh, starting height.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It depends on the event, and I think it depends on the age group, too, because doesn't middle school have a shorter starting height?
Junior starts lower.
I want to say for high school, it's different for the 1 foot and 2 foot as well, because once you start getting to the top echelon, the 1 foot high kick is traditionally, they'll be going higher than on the 2 foot. So I want to say it was, 48 inches?
For higher. It's high.
Really?
That might be for girls.
That might be for two, yeah.
I have to look at my binder every time.
No problem.
To prepare, because that's our, like, okay, try and out. This is our cutoff. Try it.
Wow.
And just to add one more thing as well, specifically with the 1 foot, in terms of teaching that, the way the 1 foot high kick works is you take off on 2 feet, then you kick with 1 foot, and you have to land on that same foot. And you hear that and you go, oh, okay, that makes sense. And then you try it, and it feels weird. It feels off, because that's not what makes sense. You would want to land on your opposite foot. So learning the 1 foot high kick at the beginning is a process of like fighting that muscle memory and telling your body, yes, I am going to do the wrong decision here, land on that other foot. And we definitely have to incorporate that and really practice that with the athletes before they start getting to the higher heights.
Yeah. Makes sense. I mean, yeah, it doesn't seem like a very straightforward and a natural movement, but correct me if I'm wrong, Native Youth Olympics traditionally are based on subsistence activities, cultural activities, right, that these students would need to be doing on a regular basis for everyday life. So where does that 1 foot or 2 foot high kick come in? What is the practicality of that event?
Yes. So it does depend on the village
sure.
or kind of areas. And this is more of an Arctic game. So think of like Western Alaska or Northern Alaska. There's not as many trees, not as many rolling hills or mountains. And so 1 foot or 2 foot, again, depending on the area, would signify a successful whale hunt or an unsuccessful whale hunt. So bring everybody here or we not yet.
Yeah, or nope, we're going to keep trying.
The 2 foot, your feet are supposed to be together or level. It's okay if they're a little separate, but level could represent a whale tail. So there's, again, it depends on the area. It could go either way.
And then, yeah, some of the games are based on specifically, like they have practical uses. Like, for example, the Inuit stick pole, which is a game style of tug and war, that is similar to trying to pull like a seal out of the water, right? And if you lose that game of Inuit stick pole, your family goes hungry. So there's a lot on the line. And on the other hand, some games are just games that are purely for fun that could have been played indoors during the winter, like the Alaskan High Kick, which is essentially going from resting to doing a one-handed handstand at the top echelon. That's just, you can do that inside your house and it's fun. So they
all have... it's to keep up the athletic ability in the winter months.
That as well, yes.
For
conditioning the body.
Yes.
Understood. Tell me a little bit about, there's a seal hop, right?
Yes.
Tell
yes,
me a little
is.
Bit about that. I love that event. Yeah.
It's the seal hop, it again is another event that varies by age group, but you literally hop like a seal. You know, at the ones that often, you know, go viral on social media or you might have seen online is what we call like the knuckle hop, or even, what do they call it when it's just your fist on the ground rather than this?
That's knuckle hop.
That's knuckle hop? Okay, yeah.
Knuckle hop specifically is more for adults or specifically men.
Yes. So it's our high school and middle school athletes aren't doing it. But you get in kind of a push-up style position at the adult level, knuckles on the ground, and you, rather than doing a push-up up, down, you hop and hop and hop and keep going and going and going until your body can't anymore. And it's a total game of pain endurance and core strength and just determination.
It's so athletic to see it happen.
Yeah.
And again, going to the tradition of it is could also be sneaking up. So staying
yes.
low to the ground. But yeah. And so the other version is more of for junior Native Youth Olympics and for girls NYO would be more of the plank position. So there's different strategies because you aren't going to be able to have as much low body trying to push it, but all of it's hard.
And, yeah.
And definitely is a mental game. So succeeding in that is succeeding over just the will to like overcome pain.
Yeah.
Push yourself.
And it's interesting talking to our athletes that do it because some of them don't even like doing it. And I'll ask them, why do you do this seal hop? And they're like, I'll be honest, I have no idea. But then you talk to a lot of the other ones and they love to just push themselves as far as they can. And with the seal hop, you really feel the work you're doing. You're feeling you kind of hit your limits and trying to push past that. They really love that feeling.
Right, I'm visualizing, I hope the listeners can too, what Drake was describing there with knuckles on the ground, kind of arms tucked in, and you're hopping in a plank position forward down, I guess, the court, right? Because this is typically done in a basketball gym. Mm-hmm. And you're trying to see how far you can go. You mentioned, Taylor, that then there's a sort of variation where you're in a push-up position, but you're still hopping then on your palms. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it's still the same idea that you're trying to see how far you can go,
yes.
and you're measuring that distance.
Yes.
Okay. Traditionally, I'm assuming, though, the success there would be, like you said, you're sneaking up on a seal during a seal hunt, right? Mm-hmm. So you're trying to imitate a seal movement. Okay.
Yes.
Can you give me another example of a NYO event that's, I guess, similar in nature, or maybe not similar, but just sort of practically used for, you know, hunting or something like that, imitating an animal or trying to sort of sneak up on an animal for a hunt? Is there anything else like that?
I'm thinking of two events,
okay.
but they're not necessarily like that.
Okay.
The Dene stick pole that I mentioned
right.
earlier was
right.
oiled and could represent fish.
Yes.
Slipperiness of a fish. And then the other one is scissor broad jump, which again, more agility and not necessarily going out to jump from ice flow to ice flow, but there is kind of honoring that agility. And if you are on the ice, you gotta move quick. Kneel jump is another one. Mm-hmm. If you are kneeling and you have to get up quick from like something coming out of the water or just trying to be agile from being chased, kneel jump is that one. So you're kind of on your knees and you just jump up, which is so hard to get far, but people do it.
They do.
It's amazing.
It's another one I'm thinking of is the wrist carry, where
oh,
it's and that one's a bit interesting because when you try to compare it to like subsistence practices, it's more of a
let's paint the picture.
Yeah.
Wrist carry about over an inch, probably an inch and a half diameter stick. Mm-hmm. You have two people that are going to carry this stick, but on the stick, being carried by their wrist only. So no hand, no forearm or elbow, on their wrist, holding their body weight with one wrist, and they got to be carried like that. So another pain endurance. People are definitely going to have red wrists, pained wrists. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that one's representing carrying in and hauling in. Some good food.
And kind of with that in mind, it's not a, at least at the state level, they're not going for how long were they on the stick. It's distance that the carriers are running. Mm-hmm.
They're doing laps around the gym.
Yeah.
And it's so fun because your team can go as fast as you need or as steady as you need because there's a bumpy ride I've seen. And so it's really cool to see that how that plays out.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate that overview. I feel like we covered a lot of the different events. I know there are more, but I'd like to spend a little bit of time now talking about, just your season in general, your athletes. So walk me through when did your season start and then how many meets or competitions did you have this year? And
Yeah. So we had a short season this year. Do you remember the specific start?
First week of March.
And that's a lot later than most spring activities. And that was just kind of unfortunate. Normally, we want a much longer season, but we really tried, and I think we did, make the most out of the short time that we had. It was interesting because we had so many new athletes this year. So we only had, 7 weeks to maybe even less to really kind of bring these new athletes in and catch them up to speed and get them going. So every practice, it was pretty high octane. We're going, you know?
Yeah, to determine who's traveling because we had an idea where we would go to state. And then thanks to a lot of corporations and tribal entities, we were able to make it to Juneau, which so much farther to traditional games. And so we did end up traveling to two games, Juneau for traditional games, and then up to Anchorage for Cook Inlet Tribal Council's main state event for NYO.
Yeah.
And
it was, the support that we received was amazing because going to Juneau was such a great opportunity. The state Cook Inlet NYO event is amazing. It's really the top echelon of Native youth or youth in general, but yes. And but because of that, it's usually only really high schoolers that are going to that event. And us going to the event in Juneau really gave all of our athletes a chance to shine and really try their hardest.
And when you get to competitions, I've also been told the uniqueness of NYO is, you know, there's a lot of camaraderie between different teams. There's a lot of good sportsmanship and support. Could you kind of talk about that too, what that looks like?
Yes. So the events look like a lot of things going on at once. And so you're in heats or in sections. So there might be eight people going on to one event in this one kickstand or this one area. So while you're waiting, you might be talking with people. But really what happens is not just chatting and socializing. It's talking about the game. Like if you see someone trying to get this hit or this kick, a lot of times you'll just see kids inserting themselves to cheer them on, to say, oh, you know, try this. Like, oh, you know, that's that might be dangerous. I had one kid go to another kid and say, oh, that, like, they were trying to do a bridge for
one hand reach.
Like, that is dangerous. Don't do that yet because you're not stable enough. Mm-hmm. So it's a competition, which we're all thinking super competitive, like, you know, that's our traditionals. But it's not in this case, because something about NYO does coach and does teach that the community needs to build up the community to succeed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so it's cool that these kids were strangers with each other, but they're bonding, they're joking, and they're coaching each other, which I haven't seen in any of my years of events, like doing my traditional sports for Western society.
Yeah,
so it's really cool.
It's a total different environment, and it's really amazing, especially for like the kicking events, as an example, is where I saw it the most, because the way the kicking events work at NYO in like meets is that you get like groups of like 8 to 10 for each kickstand. So they're all kind of sitting around in a circle talking to each other. And once you start really getting to those higher heights, they'll be giving you get 3 tries for each height. And if someone misses a kick, not only will the judges give advice, but so will the other kids. They'll say, hey, your form was off here. Hey, you should be jumping off the ground a little bit closer. And it's like, that's your literal competition. But you go back to how these were often for subsistence activities and for survival. And if someone doesn't catch the seal, if someone can't properly convey that it was a successful or unsuccessful hunt, chance of your village going hungry. And you don't want another community to starve. So it's that energy has carried forward.
Yeah. And then just to sort of highlight your season, maybe there were some standout athletes. I'm sure everyone did really, really well. But how would you say the season went overall, and who would you like to mention, or maybe some specific things you could kind of highlight from your season? Take your time with this one.
I'm seeing Coach Taylor really thinking. I'll say first and foremost, I want to give a shout out to our seniors. We had 3 graduating athletes this year. 2 of them were new to the games, and then 1 was very not new to the games and was really kind of a role model for the team. Well, they all were. But I would love to give a shout out to Owen Magnuson, to Gideon Tosi, and to Ambry Singer. And just so thankful to have had them this season. And it was an absolute blast. And any other shout outs I can think of would be for starters, the Juno meet was incredible, because it felt like you'd go watch one of your athletes at one event and they hit their PR, and then you go to an athlete at another event and they hit their PR. I think the energy of that, of those kind of meets, really pushes the athletes, and overall I think people did amazing at that event. So I guess if I was to give a specific shout out, I guess it'd be to the folks that placed, right? So it's, again, Gideon, he placed 5th at men's seal hop, for Juno. Yeah. Yeah. He ribboned. So he placed 5th. And that was amazing, 'cause that wasn't Gideon's normal event. But he tried it just to try it. And it was the last event of the meet. And he was like, okay, this is really my last chance to do NYO. They're going to have to pull me off the ground. I'm going to give it everything. And he did. And you can ask him, he had never done it before. So his form was holding it back so much because he'd never done it. But he just put so much work in that he placed anyways.
It's hard to pick out a couple kids.
Yeah.
Or maybe you could just tell me, like, overall what your impression was of the Cook Inlet Games at State. Like, how you felt about that, or what stood out to you, I guess.
That'd be me. Another quick one, Abby placed 5th as well in stick pull, so shout outs to her. But the Cook Inlet Games are amazing, just because it's like, it's the best of the best. And there was 2 things that really surprised me. The first is that it's not just the top youth that show up. I saw so many like people that really represent NYO, the Native Games. Nick Hansen was there just to support the people in Unalakleet, right? And that was really cool. Kyle Worrell was there, who is a real representative of the games. He came down to Kodiak last December to train people such as us for coaches and do an assembly for the youth. Both Nick Hansen and Kyle were on American Ninja Warrior. It's you have all of these different judges and people coming from all over Alaska. And then the other thing is that I was, you know, Juneau, everyone was had that so much camaraderie with the other teams. And I guess part of me thought that that would die out a little bit when it came to the state meet, because that's the really big one, but it didn't. People were still in it for the right reasons. People were still going like, yes, there's a end result at the end of the day. Someone's going to win, but it's not really about that. It's about doing the best that you can. You know, one of my students who was in the Dene stick pull, which is a, rather than like a solo event where you're trying to reach your personal best, you're competing against others. And he would literally give his opponents advice during the match. And I've never seen that before. And it was amazing because talking to him, his reasoning was, one, that's what it's about. He wants everyone to be better. And the better his opponents are, the better he gets. So he's not as concerned with the placing. He's more trying to have fun, teach people, and be the best that he can be. And that's really what the energy is about. That said, people were incredible. It's hard for me to fathom how athletic some of these folks are. I mean, it's one of those things where it's, you see it in person and you never thought a human being could do that before, you know? So it's amazing. It was a really cool event.
Awesome. I think we'll have to wrap there, but Taylor, did you have anything else to add or anything else that you wanted to highlight from this season overall with NYO?
Yes. So, I was kind of positioned as the middle school coach, and not necessarily, we were totally 6th through 12th grade. But from my end of things, I'm really excited about this middle school group that is rising up. And also my 5th graders that are going to be 6th graders next year, I'm excited to rope them in and keep them involved. And so I'm really excited about next season, which is going to have so many differences. Because we're going to make it longer, we're going to do this and that. And so I am really excited about how I perceive the longevity is going to work out. And
yeah.
It's going to happen.
So a little plug for next season then. When would you start, or are you doing anything in the off season, or how can folks get in touch, or if they're interested in joining, how do they join?
Ooh, okay. I was working on making a Kodiak Traditional Games Facebook page. And so I'll be posting that and sharing that once it's made. I am looking to do a kids camp, so more of the elementary age during the summer, since we kind of ran out of time during the season. And then I predict that we're hoping to start in October. We don't know where. We don't know when. Please stay posted. But keep a lookout. And we're going to have a longer season, reach more athletes, reach more kids, and reach more community members, because I'm looking for those people that were part of those teams in the heyday, and want them. Mm-hmm. I want them back.
And I guess adding on to that, you know, the games don't really end. They don't have to end once you graduate high school. It just goes from NYO to Arctic Games. So getting some of those people back is going to be huge. And yeah, like Coach Taylor said, we're hoping for something in October to kind of carry on into the spring. If anyone's interested in summer activities, also TBA, that's something that I'm working on because you will be off island. And I guess if anyone is interested in learning more about NYO or is interested in participating in Arctic Games or wants their child to participate, you can email me at drake.richards@kodiakhealthcare.org. Reach out and we'll get in touch.
And keep an eye out for that Facebook page.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Thank you. Drake and Taylor, appreciate your time talking about Native Youth Olympics today.
Thank you, Dave.
Absolutely. Thank you.